What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb FM Zlotnik je.
Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
Very well, Terry. Very bloody well. And how the hell are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it, pal.
Good to hear it.
Oh, I tell you, I'm settling in now.
All right, getting loosey-goosey. Feeling on it. Wednesday night. On the floor.
How the bloody hell are you, Terry?
Good. Older, yeah. But good.
Happy birthday.
I'm gonna stop you there, Andy. I'm gonna stop you right there.
Can I say, even before you continue, there's nothing in a social setting, there's nothing that I hate more than the happy birthday song.
Oh, God.
I hate singing it. I hate it being sung to me. Sometimes I'll just mouth it and I won't even
last
say
time
it
was
loud.
Sung to me, I beat my cake to death. So, you know, tells how much I like it.
It's true, folks. Yeah. how was the big day?
It was great. I took Monday off work. Nice. So it was nice. I had a 4-day weekend because I took yesterday off as well.
Mm.
So, yes, and Bonnie was back in creche. So we had the day to ourselves. Oof. So we dropped her off from creche and then we went for an old stroll on Dollymount Beach, early doors. Faye got an old coffee after that, but it was just such a lovely day. Everybody was feeling upbeat, you know. Oh,
feeling good.
Spring is here.
Rebirth, rejuvenation.
Yes, it's June. It's June. If you know, you know, folks. And then it was kind of grand. I just spent my day then relaxing for the rest of it. And then I settled in to watch an old 90s action flick Monday night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was lovely. Hey, Faye actually made me Eggs Benedict for lunch on Monday. And I will tell you, that is my meal of choice whenever it's out for a brunch setting.
The Eggs Benedict. Let me see here. Oh.
It's bloody delicious.
Bit of bacon on there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Now it's you're talking my language.
Great.
Food. The food language.
The language of food. But leading up to that, I had a pretty good weekend as well. You know, I've been... What have I been doing? I tell you what, actually.
Yeah.
Some pluses and some minuses. I'll get the minus out of the way first. I know I'm getting old because I went jogging on Tuesday last. I didn't even mention it last week. Tuesday. I killed it with my time. I was very happy with myself.
Nice.
And then Thursday evening, I went around to the shops and I was like, why is my foot sore? Why do I have to have my foot up for the rest of the evening? And it's been like that ever since. I think it's
for God's sake,
tendons or ankle ligaments or something.
Is that to do with when you rolled over on it a few years ago?
It's a different foot, but it feels kind of similar pain. And it's the same, it's the metatarsal area. At the beginning, it was the metatarsal area, but it seems to be more of an ankle thing now. So, you know.
I just have visions of next week's podcast when you turn your video on. Just you in a hospital bed, your leg raised, your head totally wrapped in a bandage. Hey, buddy.
You're never going to guess. I tell you what, Faye actually looked after me. Loads of ice packs and feed up. And I could choose whatever I want to watch. It was great.
Nice.
And
Every cloud.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's almost worth it.
Yeah. I'm faking the whole thing.
What have you been watching?
I watched a very interesting and funny, I loved it to be honest, Faye did not like it so much, movie called, I don't know if you heard of it, Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar.
No, I can't say that I have. Yeah. Is this the movie where Faye texted me a picture of you enjoying the film?
Yes.
And she said it was the worst movie of all time.
It was good. It's a good movie. It's Kristen Wiig's new movie.
Right.
And it's like her and the woman who she wrote Bridesmaids with.
Right.
But like the two of them are the stars of it. And it's they play the titular Barb and Star. They're like 40-something-year-old Midwestern housewives.
Yes.
Sans, the partners, and they decide to spice things up and they decide to go to Vista Del Mar. And it's kind of weird. It's kind of like part...
I bet you it's a terrible movie.
It's so fun. It's part Austin Powers. It's part like Hot Rod. It's part... I don't know. Like, it's just...
Hot Rod.
You never seen Hot Rod?
Oh, I've seen it.
I loved it, man. You didn't like
Hot
it?
Hot Rod? Let me see if I'm...
Andy Samberg.
I bet you Andy Samberg's in this as well.
No, he's not. Jamie Dornan.
You love Andy Samberg movies.
You know, what's not to love? Jamie Dornan is in this. You might know.
Oh, yeah.
But
Christian Grey himself?
Yeah, but he's very, very funny in it.
Okay.
Like, and it's just a wacky, silly, goofy comedy. I really enjoyed it. I was kind of thinking, like, I kept thinking to myself, it's like Austin Powers. Remember the first time you saw Austin Powers?
Yeah.
And you were like, wow, like, this is something so colourful and different and something like that. It's like that, but I don't think it'll age as badly.
As Austin Powers?
Yeah, Austin Powers is like, you're like, hmm. Like,
do you think as it aged bad? I haven't seen it in a while.
I caught a bit of it there on TV not so long ago, and it was like, I have a soft spot for it, but I can see why, like, if somebody watching it today, they're like, what is this?
Right. Just in general.
What is this film?
Yeah, baby.
I'll be high.
This was everywhere.
Yeah. Like, you kids don't even know how lucky you are.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Well, listen, if I come across the movie, I'll give it the old, as we say in our house, the old college try, the old 5 minute try.
5 minutes?
You know within 5 minutes.
You don't know within 5 minutes. You do, Terry.
Let me tell you something. I was watching something that would be of particular interest to you.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the thing that I was trying to remember last week where I was like, oh, the review said blah, blah, blah.
That whole
it was
thing.
Parasite. Oh, God.
Andy, don't you dare disappoint me.
If the drink is anything... Oh, okay. Okay, it's Coke Zero. Fair enough.
With some... I don't know what... Jameson. I ran out of bourbon.
Oh, well, next time you're in Kentucky.
Or...
Oh. You know what I got here?
Wine? Red and white wine?
A bottle of red. A bottle of white. It all depends upon your appetite.
I thought you were going to crack it open there and just start chugging it.
Just break the head off the table. Like.
You start feeling good all the time.
Yeah, so
Parasite, not, yeah. I take you didn't it, like it.
No. I did like it, Terry.
Did you watch it all the way through, yeah?
I watched it all the way through, yes.
Oh, what a movie, huh?
Listen, here's my take on it. My hot take, which I know everyone is dying to hear.
I actually am.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it from start to finish. I don't see what gave it best movie at the Oscars quality. It was a memorable, enjoyable film. But I don't think it was necessarily like groundbreaking or anything like that. It was good. I'd give it like a 7 out of 10.
I guess that's as much as I can ask from you, to be honest. Like,
tell me what the big deal is.
Just basically it's like of our time, you know, the class struggle, you know, eat the rich kind of thing. Right. Well, you're not like...
Well, I mean, you could use that for a million movies, though. You know what I mean?
Like what? Give me another one.
Oh, well, I don't know. I'm on the spot now.
I mean, if you want me to come up with an answer to my own question, I mean, who's cheating here?
Listen, you know I can't deal with follow-up questions.
Yeah. Yes, as long as there are no follow-up questions. Yes. Well, I'm glad you liked it.
I did like it.
That's a step in the right direction. I didn't even have to make you watch it for the podcast.
There you go. And very good. So yeah, thoroughly. Well, I wouldn't say thoroughly enjoy. No, thoroughly enjoy.
I mean, it's it takes some turns, right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
that's what's great about it.
It was visually very pleasing. Visually, it was. I would even use the word stunning.
Yeah, and they have the black and white version on Amazon as well. That I haven't
black and white version.
Yeah, the black and white version of it. That
the color is what I like about it. I think.
Yeah, but it'd be. I think it'd be interesting to see the. You know.
I'd say it would have a completely different tone, to be honest.
Well, I mean, yeah, maybe. I don't know. There is like something about like even the orange of the peach or whatever, like, you know. All these, like, the vibrancy of
it's very vibrant, yeah, very vibrant. So yeah, I would recommend it. It's on Prime Video.
Yeah.
Now, can I ask you? Did you see the old addition to Disney Plus? They heard your prayers, yeah. And they answered.
Fucking right. Yes, sir. Disney Plus star.
Yeah, loads of 18s, loads of action movies. I tell you, my all salivate
for at the Die Hard. Apart from the first one, you got Die Hard 2, Die Hard with a Vengeance, and then the other two that aren't so good. But you know,
well, I'll tell you this right now. I've already got my next Patreon one picked out of Star.
I didn't want to have to put you on the spot again, but probably would have.
I've got it. But yeah, excellent.
Yeah,
I'm delighted. And now, what's the story with the name Star though?
Disney Plus Star.
Star.
I don't know.
Like, you know what I mean? That's the only thing I was saying to Carrie. Like, this is great, but like, come on, Star. That's your name, Star.
I mean,
sounds cheap.
Yeah.
I was watching some Family Guy on it. I tell you what I was watching.
It has everything on it. It has all the Family Guys, all the American Dads, all the Futuramas.
Solar Opposites, I was watching.
Is it any use?
It is. Very good.
It's like I was hovering over it last night, and I was like, I just went to the old safety of American Dad for an episode before bed.
It was very good. It's kind of like, I mean, it is Rick and Morty essentially. Like, it's the main guy's voice is Rick.
It's his creation again.
Justin Roiland's whoever it is. But like the font is the same. The house kind of looks the same.
The aliens,
similar characters. Yeah. Like planet Zorpa Zorp and all this sort of talk, like it's very similar. The eyes are those kind of like weird sort of not quite.
Like asterisks almost the eyes, like yeah.
But it's kind of like a scaled down Rick and Morty. I kind of got the impression that Rick and Morty takes so long because it's so intricate. This is like it's like Rick and Morty, but a little bit more conversational, a little bit less like you know crazy scenes. And although there's like very satisfying kills in it and all that sort of stuff. But there's only two episodes or something, so it was a bit... I was just getting into it.
There's only two episodes up, because I know they did a season. I think they're coming back
I was only getting into it, and then I was like, oh, shit, that's it.
There might be a weekly rollout thing that they're doing.
Don't like that. I don't like the fact that they're starting to do that a lot more now.
But it kind of makes it a bit more... Like, for something like that, maybe not, but like the fact that they did it with The Mandalorian and WandaVision, and they're going to do it with The Falcon and The Winter Soldier, you know, it makes it a bit more events.
It shows how good the show is. If I'm giving out about the fact that I have to wait for more episodes, you know. They know they've already got me by the Jaffers. What else have you been watching?
I'm trying to think. I watched a movie called The Kid Detective. Okay?
Okay.
And it is Adam Brody.
Okay.
Seth Cohen himself.
Adam Brody.
The name, if the name Seth Cohen doesn't jump out at you, I don't know what we're doing here, Andy. We've been on the run, as we come, driving down the 101.
Come on, I haven't heard that name in like 12 years.
7 years ago, but I don't see what that has to do with me getting this jab.
He's back from the dead.
He's been knocking around the last few years, and he's always good, to be honest. But this movie... The plot is he was a detective, like he was a child detective. He was the town detective, or like he was getting like, you know, commandments by the mayor because he was solving, you know, where the missing cat was or whatever, you know, who took the...
As a kid.
Yeah, as a kid. And it picks up with him when he's like 32 or 33. And it's like he still runs his detective agency, but it's like he is regarded as a joke. You know,
right.
And he gets his first real big case, which is a murder, and he has to try and solve the murder. And it's very low key. I love a good mystery movie. And this,
I'm looking at it now. I'm looking at the Wikipedia. Good poster.
Yeah.
Good. What are you drinking there again? What did you say you were
Jameson
drinking?
Jameson and a Coke Zero.
Oh, Jameson and a Coke Zero, eh? I tell you, I've never liked a Jameson. I mean, I'm sorry,
really
I know
good.
You're enjoying it.
But
I don't know shit about whiskey, though. So
the movie is good, and it's an hour and a half, and it, you know, I really enjoyed it. But there's a bit at the ending of the film, after everything is kind of wrapped up, and it's like, I mean, I'm not gonna. It's hard to talk
don't
about
worry
it,
about
but, yeah, basically, his parents come and see him. because they've been coming, they've been kind of like bailing them out with money wise for a long time, and it's like everything is wrapped up, and they come and see him, they're like, oh, the place looks great, and you know, your roommate moved out, and you're really coming along in the world, it's great, you're finally growing up. And he's just sitting there, and then he like starts like breaking down in tears, and they don't tell you why, and it's just like, it just ends with him crying, like having a nervous breakdown. And then I was thinking about it, and I was like, the fact that like he was a guy that like dealt in like small, you know, missing cat stuff, and then he has solved the murder case, and at the end he finally, it's hitting him. I was like, there's very few films that would kind of end their film like that, like, you know. I thought it was really good, really good,
interesting. I'm looking at it here. Box office, 367,000.
Independent movies made in Canada.
Oh,
like,
boy. Someone's taking a bath on that.
Barely covered Brody's salary. I'd say it's more for the VOD market, Andy, really.
Well.
Oh, and listen. I also watched Sleepless in Seattle with Faye at the weekend. Ah, and my God.
Good.
They don't make them like that anymore.
They sure don't. I think I've only seen it once, to be honest, just a couple of years ago. But
I hadn't seen it since I was a kid. And like, I kind of forgot that like Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan are barely on screen together.
Yeah.
For the whole thing. And then there's something so refreshing about like, spoilers for this movie from 1992 or whatever, but like, there's no big moment at the end where they're like, come here, baby, and like, you know, give like a big kiss or whatever. It's like literally he puts out his hand and they walk off together hand in hand. He's like, well, we better go home. He's like, shall we? And like, and I was like, oh God, Hanks.
He's great,
class,
isn't he?
Man.
Like, he's just pure class personified.
You're like, that's a very romantic moment, you know, without having to be overtly showy or anything like that, like, you know.
Yeah.
Just very nice. Very hard to pull off as well. Like,
I don't think you even could make a movie like that.
That's the thing. The world's too cynical now, I think.
Yeah.
To make a movie.
You would
like
think,
that,
oh, this is some sort of like, some form of art or something now. You know, like some sort of weird like retro art.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed it. Nice. Like, Pullman was in it as well.
Was
like, he plays her, Meg Ryan's fiance. And I was like, oh, he's so good in it as well. Like, he's,
oh shit, hang on. I nearly ended the meeting there. Can you imagine?
You get your finger off that trigger. Oh, and one other thing. Oh, and just one more thing. Because I had a whole weekend on my hands. It was great, a 4-day. I also rewatched Nightcrawler. After watching that Britney Spears documentary, I had a bit of a like paparazzo itch. My God, it's
good,
isn't it? Fucking brilliant, man. I love it. Yeah. It's such a good movie. Like,
it's one that I've been tempted a few times to watch again when I see it there, because I remember how good
pull the trigger. Yeah. He's really good in it. Yeah. Like, and I kind of like, I had in my head like, oh, there's loads more, not set pieces, but like, you know, things that he, you know, films and stuff like that. And there's like two or three big ones, and you're like, but it's really fucking disturbing the things he does. And then the action, the little that there is done really well, like really kind of.
I remember
of
it being like, I remember being thoroughly satisfied with it by the end.
Good fucking movie.
Can I tell you something I was watching?
Yeah, go on. I'm done. I've blown my wad.
Ooh, I was watching a thing about Dustin the turkey. I don't know if you've seen this documentary.
I love Dustin.
Yeah. And I was thinking, it was on, it was like 25 years of plucking or something like that. And I had like loads of clips and loads of people talking about.
They never miss a chance, do they?
No.
They never miss a chance to put a terrible
point
him
on it. Yeah. But there was a bit that had me absolutely cracking up. They were talking about how like, because some of the stuff he actually said where you're like, Jesus. Like, there was one time he said something to Ray Darcy when they were out somewhere. It's like, the only thing and whatever, more ups and downs, is Ray Darcy's relationships. And Ray Darcy looked at Dustin and was like, careful now. Like, am I serious? Dustin like turns to the camera like, but there was a scene where he's like, and he wasn't afraid to give his 2 cents.
Now, can we just explain, sorry, for our international listeners, what Dustin the Turkey is?
He is a turkey puppet, a national treasure in Ireland.
He was our Eurovision entrant 1 year.
Eurovision entrant, yeah. Pantomime star.
And, he had more than two albums, but two great albums. Like, you know.
And we're all big fans of him, anyway. Yeah. But it had a thing where he was like, do you remember Zig and Zag went off to England?
They went to Channel 4. They were doing the big breakfast. Yeah. You know?
And they came back, and it was just so funny, like the way they edited it. It was like, he's not afraid to give his 2 cents, or whatever. And it cut to him like in Zag's face, and was like, you sold out to the Queen. You sold out to the Queen. That didn't work out for you, did it? And he's getting held back and all, like,
Zig, at least Zig's too ticked to know what was going on. But this lad here's an awful Egypt. Sold out to the Queen. Sold out to the Queen, you did. You ran off to England, now you're back in Ireland trying to get the money back yourself.
And Zag's not saying anything. Like, he's proper, like, and he's singing like these Irish songs and all. It was just like, I don't remember being
bizarre,
so
bizarre time in the 90s. We're doing a lot of 90s nostalgia at the moment, like, but like, weird stuff going on.
It was
like,
just crazy, some of the stuff that he was saying. But anyway, it was on RTE. I'm sure it'll be on again, or on the RTE player. I would highly recommend.
I was doing my usual, you know, monthly dive into Divine Comedy, you know, performances on YouTube, and there was one of like Neil Hannon on The Big Breakfast being interviewed by Zig and Zag, and I was like, this is like 8 o'clock, it's prime time morning. I'm like, what is going on here? These Zig two alien puppets. Like,
Zig had a funny voice, I remember, because he had like the childlike voice almost. Yeah, kind of, yeah. And another documentary I watched, Terry, just to finish up here. Oh, well, okay. Ron Howard documentary on the Beatles.
Eight days a week. I have yet to watch it. Is it good?
No, I've about 15 minutes to go, but yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah, I knew it would be, just, you know.
Like, you know, but there was stuff that I'd kind of forgot about, like when they first went to America, and there was loads of segregated shows in the South, and they were asked about it, and just Paul, like, they had such a perfect reaction to it, even for the time, where it's just like that's just stupid, like, you know, like we've never been asked to do that in the UK, and we wouldn't play if we were asked to play somewhere like that. And then they were saying that was like the last time that they sort of like segregated at
burst the dam events almost. And all that.
But it was just great, just even their lives. Like, I mean, obviously we're two Beatle nuts, but you sort of forget how like prolific they were constantly, every second it seemed like they had filled out for them, like, you know, so they just never got a break. They had to write songs like on the road, or in a hotel, and like that's what they were saying in the documentary. Like, it's like anyone can write like loads of songs, but it's the level, like, and the fact that they kept breaking boundaries with each one as they were kind of doing all this other shit at the same time. It was just a really, and like, just, it's on Sky documentaries or whatever, but it's very good.
And just like the way they were evolving. What album did they stop touring?
I think they did one show after they'd released Rubber Soul.
Yeah, that would have been the one.
Candlestick
that,
Park or something it was.
And that's the one where you can see the real sea change, I think. Rubber Soul is like, okay. Like, where, and like, there are sort of changes as they go along. Like, I was listening back to Help there recently, and it's like, it's very like early Beatles, but also there's stuff in there where you can see that they're, you know, changing as they go, like,
big time. Yeah. And so quick, like, I mean, just think of it now, like, the difference between now and 2 years ago, say, you'd say you're largely the same now, but the difference between them in like 63 and 65, or like the difference between them in 65 to 67, like, huge leaps in like the stuff they were able to put out. So it was just,
they're just a great bunch of lads, aren't they? I'm constantly thinking about, like, when this fucking lockdown is over, like, I want to, like, get my hands on an old Xbox and buy Rock Band. Rock Band. Like, I'm coming down to Wicklow, and we're setting it up, like,
We'll just do it if we can meet face to face again. We'll just do it in my work. I'll set up a little studio beside the studio
on the roof of your work.
Yeah, now you're talking. Last thing, I got a dog.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, my little buddy.
Yeah.
He's been great. Very cute, lovely addition to the family. Sleeps in Joni's room.
And Joni is loving them.
Yeah, it was a birthday present for her, but like she didn't expect to get it
early
because her birthday is not for like another week and a half or whatever. And like when she walked into the room, she thought because it's black and white like our cat, so she just walked into the room and just sat down. And we were like, "Did you look over there?" And she looked over, and then like her face is just like, I mean, you can't really see in the podcast, but it was just like. So it was great. It was all lovely. Arlo the cat is not a fan.
He'll get there. Arlo will.
Every day she's getting like a little bit closer. Every day, the first day she like hissed at him, and now we're kind of keeping them separate. We actually have like a little old like cot door that we're wedging sort of in between doors so they can go up to each other and sniff, but not attack each other. Yeah. You know. But anyway,
I'm dying to get a dog. To be honest.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I'm dying. And like Bonnie is mad for dogs. So like a buffet is afraid of dogs.
So a small dog?
Yeah, I want to get a beagle. That's the kind of dog I want to get. Like
brilliant.
Yeah. I just love them. They're great. Like so
lovable beagle.
So in a year, I'd say a year or two. Like
brilliant.
Dog is on the cards.
Excellent. Anyway. Can we please talk about The Simpsons, for the love of God, Terry?
Sure we can.
More particularly, Terry, can we talk about the 23rd episode of the 7th season of The Simpsons, Much a Poo About Nothing?
We sure can.
Thank you. It aired on the Fox Network on the United States.
Getting me script up, but wouldn't you know... Something went wrong with my screen on my phone, so now I have to flip it this way whenever I want to use the search bar.
Yeah.
It's a pain, let me tell
hate that.
You. Yeah, I do hate it.
I wouldn't like that now, Terry, to be honest with you.
I'm too cheap to buy a new one.
They're fucking mental. They're absolutely mental if you want to buy a phone and you don't want to get on bill pay.
I got this one for 100, but like...
Yeah, this one for 180.
You're rob me.
By all standards, this would be the laughing stock of everyone else I know's phone.
What do you got? A Huawei?
It's a Samsung, but it's like an A10. Hmm. You know the Samsung A's are the budget option.
What's the high end? S?
S. Hmm. Or I don't even know what they call it now.
S.
But anyway. Those new iPhone cameras, Jesus Christ! Every time Tony sends me a picture of Sonny, I'm always like I never comment on the baby. I was like, the quality of that photo.
You can see the hair in the background. Head.
Anyway, this episode was written by David S. Cohn and directed by Susie Dieter. Dieter.
Do you know why he changed it from S to X?
I don't. Let's find out together. Why did David
good radio
Cohen change his name? Jesus,
come on, Andy.
Known pre-Futurama as David S. Cohen, he changed his name after joining the Writers Guild of America, as there was already another David S. He chose X because it sounded more sci-fi-ish, though has jokingly said that the X would make him the David Cohen people would remember. There you go.
Well,
how about that, huh?
I'm glad I asked, anyway.
Yeah, there you go. Now we know. Joe Mantegna guest stars in the episode as Fat Tony. Much of the inspiration for the episode came from reports of bears roaming the streets in Southern California around the time when the episode was in production. And Bill Oakley commented that the news reports would often create an anti-bear hysteria. And that is one of the inspirations for the episode.
Have you ever seen that show that used to be on where there was like a bear... I don't know what you call them, like... Like rustler, I guess, for lack of a better term, you know, like
Wrangler. No,
yeah, awesome. Wrangler. Yeah, around the, yeah, like okay. I think it was further up the coast. I think it would have been like more Oregon, Seattle.
Right.
But it'd be like how he would like get a bear to get away. Like they'd just come and eat trash, but like they'd wreck wherever they were, and he would have like his gun, his trank gun. But he would literally go up to him and say, "Go, get out of here!" Like just like wave his arms or whatever.
Big, tall,
exactly. Like, but like a big tall guy with a beard, and then like if they start coming towards him, he'd like cock the gun, like, and the sound of the cocking would like kind of scare them, and then like they could tell like when it's getting pointed at them. Really interesting though. Like it's just like he's like, oh, this is what you got to do here. Like they're harmless, really. And I'm like, this thing, like grizzly man. Like I always think of like,
yeah. Yeah. I was watching, I don't know if you ever watched Meat Eater at all on Netflix.
No, I do not.
It's like a hunting show, but there was one episode where a bear was charging them. They were like, fucking hell, by the way. Bears are fucking terrifying.
Death machines.
I know. It was charging them and they're like, hey, mom. Hey, mom. Because they had cubs. Hey, mom. Just firing into the air.
Yeah.
The terror in their voice.
God, I hope this goes well.
Now, the final script of the episode was very close to Cohen's first draft. Cohen said that I was looking at the old drafts and this episode probably changed as little as any script I've written from the original inception to the final aired version. Oakley commented that some writer scripts get rewritten many times, but Cohen's usually don't get rewritten that much because they are just so damn good.
He's done well for himself, Cohen. He really
has
snuggled into Groening's, you know, like he teat. Did his teat, yeah. Yes, his teat. Cute. He did Futurama with him, and I think he did the new one with him as well, Disenchanted.
Really? So he's on the downward trajectory.
Well, he goes where Groening goes.
I've only seen one episode of this.
I watched the whole first season. And I thought it was okay, and then I started to watch the second season. And I was like, nope.
Now, I seen a thing on Twitter where it said like season one was okay, season two was terrible, season three amazing.
Really?
Or season three won me back, or something like that. Like season two lost me, season three brought me back. Something to that effect.
Interesting. So,
perhaps. Might want to revisit. I personally won't.
No, I didn't like
episode one of season one enough to never go back.
There's far too many other things available to me now on Disney Plus that I'll never go back. Like,
you know? Have you gone back to Cobra Kai, by the way? I remember you saying you were going to watch a few episodes, and I kept meaning to say it to you. I bet you he hasn't fucking gone back to Cobra Kai.
How many did we watch?
I watched, I think, two. Yeah. And you watched four, I think.
Yeah, I watched a couple more after that, and then I haven't finished them.
Many a word, though. You said you'd watch more, and you did.
I did. And
shouldn't have called you out on the pod. Sorry about that.
And I regretted every second of it, to be honest.
And the last thing I will say in that, in its original broadcast, Much a Poo About Nothing finished 49th in the ratings with a Nielsen rating of 8.2 and was the fourth highest rated show on Fox that week. Can you give me the other three, Terry?
X-Files?
Correct.
Beverly Hills.
Correct.
Melrose.
Correct. Very good.
Yeah.
You certainly not in that know order. Your 1996 Fox shows.
Was it in that order? No?
It doesn't say.
Okay.
The last thing I put on Instagram today, if anyone has any thoughts on this episode or any questions, and we got a message from Dado Cunningham. I don't know what the...
Dad-o or Dato?
Dado.
D-A-D-O.
I don't think that's... I'm pretty sure that's not, but I can't access the... I can't remember what the first... Anyway, would you drink toilet water to survive a bear attack? My answer is no.
Depends how long I was there, Dado. If I... If I was like literally surrounded my house and like I had no other resources, only toilet water left for a prolonged period, I'd probably do it, but I wouldn't do it.
Both of us,
like Flanders, where it was just, I mean, that's the genius of the joke.
Should we get into it? Exactly. Should we? Oh, you've broken up on your back. Okay. Now,
I never went nowhere, mate.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, great. First note, I just have love seeing. I always loved this as a kid when you're like, which episode is it? And then it pans down from the sky and you see the bear roaming the
streets. I just love
like,
the bear.
Yeah, it's a lovable like the, bear, isn't it?
Yeah, he's like, oh. And like Flanders' reaction.
It's so funny. Like, he smashes into a tree as well.
Yeah. And then like he's like, I don't have time for the secret knock.
Yeah,
he's just
I'm
like
panicking, Nettie.
Like scratching at the door. Like,
I like the fact that they made the bear like with zero
not,
threat.
Yeah, not arsed. You know? Like,
yeah.
I always have in my head as well that line. It was like, looks like bad news for the Impson residents.
Yeah, and I think that was on the ad, as I remember.
It was on the ad. 100% was on the ad. That's why it's up. But like, then I just realized this time. Then he's like, yeah, okay. Like, you know, straight away he's like, well, look, we're gonna get through this as long as I have some beer. And then
it reminded me of
baking
lockdown.
Soda, and yeah. It's just baking soda. Yeah.
When he realizes there's no beer, he's like, I'm not going to be cooped up in this house or something like that. I'm going to go and buy
it's
some
like,
beer.
If I'm going to be cooped up in this house, I'm going to go get some beer.
And so then lockdown vibes.
Yeah, 100%. Like, that's what I was thinking. And the way he tries to get out of the house with the, like, scurrying across the pole, the whatever it is, the wire, and then, like,
the
it breaks
wire,
off.
Yeah.
And then,
the fact
like,
that like his plan, like if it goes well, is a terrible plan.
And now, crash through the windscreen, is it?
Yeah, and now to glide gracefully through the windscreen, like even if he nailed it, like it would be in such pain.
Yeah, and then you get Wiggum showing up, shoots Barney with the trank, and then like I did love Barney like animal tranquilizer.
Yeah.
Oh, and like just like. Like,
snaps
oh,
it and drinks
that
it.
Man, like that poor man, like
I know anything and everything he will consume.
He's like
Wiggum.
One count of being a bear,
yeah,
and one count of an accessory to being a bear.
and there's a report from Kent Brockman where he's like looking a bear like creature, most likely a bear. he's like it's looking
so
for
good.
Possibly
Brockman's
looking
great.
For food. Or possibly employment. Constantly looking for the spin, like the classic newsman.
I did like that when the bear gets carried away. He's carried away by the Forest Service, and Barney is carried away by Mo.
Yeah. Something quite sweet about that. Then I guess they get
water.
Angry about the constant. Yeah, he had to drink toilet water.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sick of these constant bear attacks.
It's like a freaking country bear jamboree out here.
Nothing like Homer to, like, rustle up.
Yeah, this is, I think, kind of what rubbed me the wrong way, is that Homer is in his American Dad mode for a lot of this episode.
Just, like, so blatantly, unbelievably
He's just
wrong.
So bullheaded, like, you know, doesn't care, like.
Yeah.
I did like when, you know, Homer has his, we're here, we're queer, we don't want any more bears.
Yeah, I never got that as a kid.
What, the mustache convention?
Yeah.
The mustache parade.
Parade, yeah.
Yeah. I did like when the crowd get to Quimby's and it's like, an unruly mob here to see. It's like, does it have an appointment? He's like, yes, it does. Like, I phoned ahead. Like Skinner,
the fact
like,
that he pops his head in, like, I phoned ahead. I love that they went with Skinner to deliver that joke as well. Because
like,
they could have gone with a few people.
Yeah. It's good.
That's
like, it could have been Flanders, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking Flanders. Because I was thinking when the bit was coming up, I was like, oh yeah, Flanders pops his head in. Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised to see it was Skinner. This episode is the origin of Just Think of the Children.
Yes.
Which is commonly used, dare I say, overused.
That
would
be, I mean, that became, maybe, I don't know, maybe we just conflate it in our memory. I think it's only used like 2 or 3 times, but I think because you've seen the episode so many times.
I mean more like other people use it, you know what I mean? Like,
well, like
people,
Mo?
Just like, I mean, outside of The Simpsons, just in the real world, just everyone saying it.
No, I got it, yeah.
Okay. I'm not talking about The Simpsons. You understand?
I did like Mo saying, these are smaller than the average bear. They swipe my picnic basket. And then for some reason, the picnic. Quimby has it at the end. Like
he couldn't be a more corrupt mayor. Yeah. Like, he's the one he's stealing picnic basket. I just love the image of Homer standing there with his arms crossed as the bear patrol passes by. Like, just like so happy to smuggle.
He's like, I did my job.
Yeah.
You know?
And I love Lisa's argument with the rock. I could argue that the bear, this rock keeps tigers away.
I love how she doesn't want the money as well. Like, when Homer's, and then she's like,
yeah, I'll take it.
Like, Lisa, I'd like to buy this rock.
And then the whole
thing it's where he gets $5 as well. Like,
did you see how much he earns?
No, I didn't.
He earns, hang on, I have it here. $362 was his net pay.
I hope that's a week.
I think so, but even that, yeah. I mean, maybe in 96 that was,
it's not a lot though,
somewhat livable for like a family.
What's their
of
mortgage?
Five. Yeah, like the size of their house. Yeah. This is a palace.
Good heavens. This is a palace. Sure, you've never been.
And the fact that, like, he notices the $5, he's like, how come my pay is so low? Yeah. Like, he really needs that $5.
The fact that, again, it's a great line, but it's like, it's the biggest tax increase in history. He's like, actually, it's the smallest tax increase in history. He's like, let the bears pay the bear tax. I pay the Homer tax. Like,
it's the homeowner tax.
Yeah, anyway, I'm still outraged.
Great.
Good back and forth between Homer and Lisa.
I was
like,
just going to say, yeah. Then the next note that I have here is just, it's classic Mo being Mo as well, where he's like, first of all, they go to Quimby again about the taxes and they're giving out about the whole thing. But like, for Quimby just to say, the problem is illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
That's right. Like, Jesus Christ. And then Mo's like, immigrants. I knew it was them.
I knew it was them. Even when it was
Even when it was the bears. The fact that he calls them immigrants as
well. Yeah, that's great. So, like, my next thing I was looking at was Uter Watch.
Was he there?
He was there.
What are we missing this?
Hey, German boy, go back to Germany.
Oh, yeah,
I was like, Uter's still alive. Woo!
Hey.
There he is.
Although being treated like absolute shit.
I love, first of all, Skinner being like, young man, the only thing we exchange for you is our national dignity. And like Willie like comes in like fist drawn, like, you wanna pick on immigrants? Then pick on Willie.
Willie, please, the children want to pick on someone their own size.
I just love how he's ready to deck everyone. Like,
he's always just that boiling point all the time.
Yeah.
And then, when next note here is, the Simpsons are talking about immigration and Abe is telling them the story about America. So, is Abe Irish then?
I think so, yeah.
Like, Abe's fully Irish then, I guess.
Yeah, or he's from the old country. He can't remember which country, but yeah, the dad.
I mean, it looked like Ireland, and it looked like an American trying to do an Irish. It sounded like an American trying to do an Irish.
I kind of liked Abe's dad voice. See that, son? That's our new home.
Like, it kind of blended into Scottish a bit. Was like, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow.
Yeah, I liked that it wasn't so like, oh, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Yeah.
You know, it was more, yeah,
more noble, should we say.
I did love it when Abe, like, they move into the Statue of Liberty. First of all, it's like, we had to move out once we filled the entire head with garbage. It's like, it's another like,
like the story,
what is he talking
about,
somewhere,
like, and it's like, we had to move out when we filled the head with garbage. The end. Oh, okay. I liked the
Homer, and then the scene with the poo where he's like, sorry, go on.
Go on now. There was a lag. Go on. I didn't hear you. Go on.
Edit that, at least.
I will, yeah. I've got loads of editing to do on this one. All right.
When Homer and Apu are talking, and like, it's kind of really sad where it's like, Apu was like, oh, I wish I could have stayed one more year. There was so much I wanted to do and have done to me. And like, you're like, oh. And then like Homer being like, you know what, Apu? I'm really going to miss you. And just like stamps the thing on. I was like, what an asshole.
Real prick.
Like, yeah.
Real prick, like.
Yeah.
You would think at that
stage. I don't know what it is. I don't like it when he's this much of a dickhead. Like, I like liking Homer, you know?
Like the Bart on the Road Homer, where him and Lisa are just chilling in the power plant. Like, how can he have such a wild, like...
Swing. There's so many times this year when we've used the term endearing to talk about Homer. And seeing this, like...
This was the opposite,
I don't like it, you know?
I don't care for it either myself.
No, it rubs me the wrong way.
The next note I have here is just Professor Frink, but I don't know if I'm jumping the gun. But where Apu is saying that we studied under Professor John Frink.
Yeah.
The whole thing with the supercomputer, don't touch it.
Well, technically, yes. But the computer matches will be so perfect as to eliminate the thrill of romantic contest.
And then the next bit I have here is Kearney getting with the fake ID. I don't know if, again, I've jumped the gun, but where are you saying?
No, I mean, this is like...
My name is Charles Norwood.
Yeah, good evening.
And I love the fact that, like, he's actually a bit nervous. Like, he's got that, like,
I thought he was older, though, as well. Like, you know, Kearney's...
I thought he could afford it.
But Kearney's supposed to be the one that's, like, you know, 40, or, you know, he has a kid.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know if I like the choice of him being the one.
Should be Jimbo, really, shouldn't it?
Jimbo, yeah, and I'm probably not going to give it to Dolph. You know,
which one's Dolph?
The other one.
The hair?
Yeah.
You kissed a girl.
You don't know that his name is Dolph?
Sure I do.
Right now?
Do you think the host of a Die Hard Simpsons podcast wouldn't know the
answer? Co-host.
Do you think the co-host of a Die Hard Simpsons podcast wouldn't know the answer to that? Huh?
Yes.
Well, you would be correct. So I like the whole thing. Apu wants the fake ID. Great use of Fat Tony in this
so
episode.
Good.
Isn't it just, like, perfect?
It is so good. Like, he's just really, really good.
I feel
good.
Like I didn't have, like, it was almost like a breakthrough moment of watching that where I'm like, I don't think I've been appreciating Fat Tony enough, because in this, like, it was the perfect character, the perfect tone.
Okay. Here are your fraudulent documents, Mr. Nahasa Pima Petalan, your U.S. passport, social security card, birth certificate, and your death certificate. Just hold on to that one in your safe deposit box.
Most humble and grateful thanks to you.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Can the courtesy. You're an American now. Remember, you were born in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Your parents were Herb and Judy Nahasa Pima Petalan. And if you do not wish to arouse suspicion, I strongly urge you to act American.
It's like slightly shady, but he's kind of just, you know, where he's like, hey, you're an American now. Yeah. You know, like this whole thing.
You better start acting. Like it.
Yeah.
It's like the death certificate. Just hold on to that one. And then when Apu was doing his, you know, American thing, he's like, what do you say we take a relaxed attitude towards work and watch the baseball game? The Nye Mets are my favorite squadron. Like, he's like, I have Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman looking at me with their dead eyes.
And it was a really sort of touching scene where he's just like crying in the back or wherever, in the storeroom. Because, you know, like, it's all sort of dark, and it's like it's one of those proper sort of serious moments. And that's, I guess, what finally turns Homer around. But, like, I was thinking when I was watching all this, I'm like, it's a really, like, it's mad how they have an episode like this, like, taking on, like, a very fiery, divisive topic, you know, that was very much in the zeitgeist, if I may use that word for the first time.
Used it correctly, yeah, at the time.
Boom. It just seems very like, again, they're they're not only flexing their comedic muscles, they're flexing their cultural muscles as well to influence, you know, a little part of culture or part of society there. I just thought it was very, they just handled it all very well, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
I think it's a very well written, well structured episode. I give it points for that. There's some things I don't like about it, but, like, you can't not admire, you know, the
subject matter or the delivery.
I was going to say, like, not the audacity, but like, you know, the attempt at, like, you know, yeah, tackling a serious subject, I guess, like
delivering a bit more of a positive message.
Yeah.
Next note is Homer on the phone made me laugh. Where he's like, "Selma, my dear, how are you?"
Listen, shut up for a second.
Shut up for a second. Still like a big smile. I love insults told through like laughs or smiles.
I love Selma's response. Like, I'd rather eat poison. My name's Selma Bouvier to Wilger Hutz McClure. God knows it's long enough without adding the hasapima, whatever. I think they're little dark horses, Paddy and Selma, for like comedy. I'm enjoying them so much more this watch around.
I forgot. I do remember when I seen this episode as a kid. Like that was when the penny dropped of like, oh yeah, Selma did marry all those people.
Except
like
for,
you forget, like if you were to ask me before that episode, did Selma marry anyone as a kid? I'd be like, yeah, I don't remember. But like, there's about four episodes.
The only one that's not is just because they throw in Hutz McClure.
Right.
Like, she never married Lionel Hutz, but I think it's because Phil Hartman.
Interesting.
Yeah. I remember hearing this, and then my weird childish cartoon brain was like, when did she marry Lionel Hutz? What episode was that in? Did I miss an episode?
Secret episode?
Yeah, secret episode, exactly. Like
What I thought was a real stretch for me was when Abe says something stupid at the table.
Yeah, grandfather.
And Lisa's
Claus.
Like, that's it. Like, see, Lisa agrees she's as dumb as me. No, grandfather. Grandfather Claus. Sorry.
Boo.
Sorry.
I think that's... I don't know.
Like, if you're going to do it, like, even the South Park way. Do you remember in South Park where your man was just connecting all these weird things? Wait a second. Bicycles.
Yeah.
Bicycles.
He's gold, you know, he's gold blooming, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I think they actually tried to sort of veer it seriously.
It's bad. Like,
Grandfather Claus, come on.
I did like when Homer's trying to teach Apu. First of all, why...
I know.
Yeah.
Why is anyone letting
Why
him
Why isn't
hear
Lisa
him?
Just be like, actually, I'll help. Like,
yeah, I'm a genius, I'll tell you.
Yeah, exactly. My IQ is 180. Like, but Homer's like, okay. It's like, we're going to have to start all over again with the electrical college. I loved that line, as opposed to
I never actually picked
electoral college. Like,
electrical college.
Chief Wiggum and the boys... like putting up the sign at the docks.
I love
the noise when he hammers it down. Like,
it's that where he's like, "Sign's floating away, chief."
And then, brilliant. When he's like, "Okay," he's like, "I want you're tired. We're gonna go with you're tired.
Yeah.
Then you're hungry. Then you're huddled masses."
That was another little jab I thought was quite telling, where he's like, he's literally saying, this is what you're doing, you know what I mean? It's like ring up, you're tired, you're dreary.
No,
and all
this, you know what that is though? It's because
that's what they said they'd accept.
Yeah, exactly, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I think that was another little jab of like, round them all up, we're sending them back, like, you know, it's not what our forefathers did.
It's good,
very good. What else we got? I was always a fan of how quick Apu falls asleep, where he's like, okay, stay
Got
awake, and stay focused. Cotton matter. Straight away.
And then when he's doing his exam, and he's like, what was the cause of the Civil War? And like, he just rattles off. He's like, okay, just say slavery. I did like Homer finishing up the end of the episode where he's like, if I could just say a few words, I'd be a better public speaker. And like Bart, like,
I love that.
Like, he's the only one that likes
Bart's
it.
Cracking up. I love that.
Or even just the way he's like, I am no longer an Indian living in America. I am an Indian American. And then Lisa saying how, you know, all Americans are immigrants apart from Native Americans. And Homer's like, yes, Native Americans like us. It's like, no, what I mean, American Indians. Like me, like a poo. And then like... She's like, no, what I mean is, and Homer just goes, if I could just say a few words, like cuts her off.
It's a good scene. Even Homer's speech after that is quite good.
Mm.
It's like, there, whatever,
really
driving
good.
Our cabs, kicking our extra points.
Yeah.
all that sort of stuff. It was very good. It was like a speech by the everyman for the everyman, you know.
And then of course they do the typical Simpsons. They set up all the pins.
No, on 24. Yeah.
And then it's like, it's a landslide. Yes, on 24. 95% vote in favor, and you're like, it's just the show. They were doing it before. Everybody was doing it, but that whole like setup.
Yeah, that whole pulling the rug.
Pull the rug. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, and then Homer says democracy doesn't work, and
it worked out well for everybody, almost everybody. Yeah. Ingrid and Willie is on the boat back.
Oh, very good.
To Scotland. Yeah.
Now, Terry, that ends the episode. Can we get to ratings, please?
Please.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
What did you
Let me ask you something, Mr. Scientist. What did you think of the episode?
I thought it was a good episode. Not necessarily ha-ha funny, but enjoyable. I thought it was good. That's what I would say.
I am with you that it was kind of similar to last week's episode. There's stuff to appreciate in there, a few laughs.
Yeah.
But not my fave.
No.
Of the season.
And I feel like, as I remember it, I hope I'm wrong in this, but I feel like season 7 kind of ends on a bit of a downward trajectory. I feel like it was really peaking around like 16, 17, 18 episodes, I mean. And then like this one, and I don't want to say Homer Palooza, and
I'm holding out hope because my
Summer of 4 Foot Two, but I feel like they're not great ones as I remember. I feel
my
like
my memory
it's
Homer Palooza is great,
right?
And then is the last one when they go to the beach house?
Yeah.
Now that one I'll be interested in seeing.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see how
like Homer and Marge in that one. They're having their own little side venture. I always get a lot of joy out of them being parents or, you know, a married couple just doing their thing. No
them
crazy.
Being normal.
Yeah. So I'll be interested to see.
But, I thought it was good, but it wasn't great. I can't really pinpoint because it had a bit of heart and it had a bit of laughs. Just,
well,
it didn't
like,
feel
it's well if, written. I don't know. Yeah. It feels like, okay, I get it. Almost. But, like, do I love it?
Yeah.
You know?
You know what I mean? If you're asking, Terry, which I know you are, my MVP, I don't know. Jesus, I don't know, actually. Let's just give it to my man, Homer J. I don't know, man, I don't know. I can't think. I didn't really want to give it to Apu because I didn't particularly love Apu.
I'm giving it to Fat Tony in this episode.
Okay.
Because quite frankly, he knocks it out of the park with his one scene.
He does.
And like you say, it really makes you think, like, oh, why? I want more of this guy.
Yeah.
You know?
He left me wanting more after that.
Yeah.
What's
your rating?
My rating, Terry, would be a respectable 8.1.
Hmm.
So my lowest of the season.
Is it actually?
I think it is.
Oh,
actually.
God.
No, I have a 7.8 in there. And I have a few other 8.1s. How about you, pal?
I'm going to give this one an 8.6.
Hmm.
You know, pretty similar to last week. I don't know why. Yeah. I kind of like how last week was a bit more cinematic, I guess.
Yeah,
but they're kind of on the same level in terms of overall feeling. Like, good memoirs, not great memoirs. I tell you.
Yeah.
I could do another George Bush episode right about now.
I know.
Yeah. Bar.
Oh, good. Bar. Yeah. No, not me. Bar. The boy him. Bar.
What is his name? The boy's name is Bart. I'm not sure of the man's name. Bar.
I don't upset the desk there. No.
Anyway. I did actually like, sorry, that reminds me there of like Bart in this episode where Apu has his like thesis of tic-tac-toe. Yeah. And Bart, what's this one do? He's like, oh. Oh. He just jumps it in the trash. Like, my life's work.
What a great, like, just throwaway Bart being, like, a little
dick. What?
Yeah. And, like, even he knows it's boring for him anyway. Yeah. What's this one do? Picks it at random. Listen.
Well, it's good to leave it on a laugh.
Yes.
Yeah.
I probably enjoyed talking about it more than I enjoyed listening. I think so to too. As per.
Yeah.
Can I get some plugs in somewhere?
Yeah, why don't you tell the good folks where they can find us on the interweb?
You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Twitter. You can email us, for God's sake. I put it in hpod@gmail.com. You can find us, yes, Instagram and Twitter. I put it in hpodcast. You'll find everything that we do there. Mm. You'll find access to our latest episodes, to our other podcast, What's So Great About. You can find our merchandise and our Patreon. Terry, why don't you tell the good folks a bit more about that last thing I said?
Well, the Patreon? Well, if you want to become a member of our Patreon, our Players Club, it gets me every time. I think I broke Andy. All you got to do is pay a low, low fee of $5 a month. Gets you 2 episodes of our sister podcast, the What's So Great About. So you get 2 of those per month. We've done our mini series on the entirety of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where I was kind of showing Andy what was so great about them. And now he has curated a lovely little smorgasbord of 90s action movies. We've got Broken Arrow in the can, True Lies, and Speed so far.
Yes, we're about to record Speed now.
Speed.
Very excited.
So the other 2 weeks of the month, you get bonus episodes that range from a whole wide range, again, of topics. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It could be anything mm-hmm. from The Last Dance, that docuseries on Michael Jordan, excuse me. Oh, Freudian slip. Yeah. I tell you, no, I'm not even going to get into a Michael Jackson joke.
I'll tell you off, Mike.
Yeah.
Basically, it's us. It's more of us. If
free
you like
flow.
Us and you're not, and if you want us talking about stuff that's not relating to The Simpsons, that's the place.
And, yeah. There's stuff on music, stuff on film, stuff on sport, stuff on our childhood, you know, loads of good stuff. They're always a bit loosey-goosey and a bit loopy at times, but
yes,
very fun stuff. It's where it's all happening, it's behind the paywall.
It's where it's all happened. And what if there's some sort of, yeah?
This week's episode was all about No on 24, but I want you and all the listeners out there to say yes on 5 stars for this particular podcast, and maybe a review as well.
Unbelievable. Just when I think you've run out.
That's probably the last one. But yeah, you could really help the podcast by giving us a rating or review on your podcatcher of choice. iTunes really helps us climb the charts, grow the podcast, and, you know, bring mm-hmm. more people in. You know, you are all our friends, and we want
Thank
your
you.
Friends to be our friends, and more friends to be our friends. It's all about friends.
Yes, absolutely. Well, what Terry said. And thank you to everyone who has done.
And thank you to everyone who
appreciate you listening.
Yeah, listening is also a big way of supporting the podcast as well. So thank you all.
I tell you what, it's the biggest way, isn't it, Terry?
Yep.
Well, committing the $5 a month is the biggest way, but listening is a very close second. So thank you. Eh?
Oh, God.
I'm going.
There I was at the immigration scene. I got stopped by the immigration man. He said he doesn't know if he can. Let me in, let me in. Immigration man, can I cross the line and break? I can stay another day. with his immigration face, giving me a paper chase. But the sun was coming, 'cause all at once he looked into my space, stamped a number over my face, and he sent me running. My immigration form, it's big enough to keep me warm when a cold wind's coming. So go where you will, as long as you think you can. You better watch out for the man. Anywhere you're going, come on and let me in. Immigration.